Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Love the 80s? Then you'll love Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Over on Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
All right, there are films, there are movies, and there are legends, and then there are epic franchises, and that's what we're talking about next. And there's another one coming to us, another installment from one of the greatest franchises of all time. It's 2 weeks yesterday, it's a week next Thursday. It's the day after Vassasis Matthew's 18th birthday on the 8th of May, Ace of Spades Day. The 8th of Spades!
The 8th of Spades!
Anyway, who's next then, Vass?
Our next guest has been all over your Netflix with her Witchers and is about to hit your cinema with her Apes. She stars in the new blockbuster Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes out next month. So let's say a big Friday hey heya to Freya Allen!
All right, Freya!
Hello!
Here we are. How are you doing?
I am great. How are you?
I'm great too, thanks. Yeah, we're all great. We're very excited about this film, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. It's out Thursday, May the 9th, and you are the human star of it.
I am, yep.
All right, what was it like playing with all those apes? Where are we up to with the franchise? Where are we are in the world? I think we're somewhere in the near future from where we're sitting here in the now today. And who was your best apey friend?
Yeah, it's set like generations after the last trilogy. And so humans are now, you know, reduced to the shadows, and apes are more dominant, except for people like me.
Right now, okay. So we've reversed roles, and from an intellectual point of view, mm-hmm. some humans haven't. Your character May is one of those. How has that happened? How has she survived? What's happened to the rest of us? And how did the apes become so clever? What can you do?
Listen, I don't want to spoil
it for you.
I'll tell you this much. She's having to start off by pretending to be feral, right? So she's having to
basically
crawling around on the floor like a little dog. And and then she's put in a position where she has to reveal that she can, in fact, speak. And that is when her alliance with the lead ape, Noah, begins, although she definitely has motives of her own and is a bit of a sort of mystery throughout. And you never really know where she stands, you know?
So is the world there to be won, the whole planet there to be won?
Yes, I'd say so. Because
Felix went to see it and he said, oh, there's bits, I don't know where, because there are so many pivotal moments in it, aren't there?
Yeah, my character really does bring the sort of gasp moments, I'd say.
He reckons we're about 300 years from now.
Yes, exactly.
Would that be about right?
Yep.
Okay, so there is some computer stuff going on, and there's evolution going on, there's knowledge to be found, and...
Well, the apes are trying to... It's ironic, because initially you think, you know what, the world's a bit better with the apes in charge, to be completely frank. But you begin to see that the more intelligent they become, the more they begin to creep into making the mistakes that we make.
That we make him.
You know?
Yeah, that's
so it. So I always say this, there's a stupidity to our intelligence.
Yeah, 100%. You know what I mean? 100%. I mean, they do say if you zoom out from planet Earth far enough and then you have a look back down, you could say even now, if you just squint, you say, who gave all these apes thermonuclear weapons? Because that's basically what's happened anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when did you watch the first ever Planet of the Apes?
I watched Dawn of the Planet of the Apes when I was, I think I must have been 13 or something like that.
Right.
I went with my dad, mm-hmm. and I just remember leaving the cinema asking a million questions because I just didn't understand how they did it. It was completely baffled. So little did I know that I would then be having to deal with that.
And where were you in your acting sort of, it wasn't a career by then, was it? But your acting experience?
Yeah. there, well, maybe I must have been younger then, because I started when I was 14, so I was probably like 12, 11 or something, I don't know. But I had, I don't know, I'd done like one professional show, and I don't think I was actually paid for it, but it was a professional show, and you know, just all the school plays and all of that. I was beginning to get hooked.
Who was at your school? You went to the same school
as Emma Watson.
Emma Watson.
Yes.
Control room and applause for schoolmates Emma Watson and Freya Allen. Who went to your school? +44333
I thought you were about to bring her out. I was having a bloody heart attack. I was like, what's going on? Why is everyone cheering?
That's the second B word, Aussie Jane, today. I've got to apologise for that. And so was she there at the same time as you?
No, she wasn't. Right. I only went there for secondary school, and she was. I think I have a friend that was when my friend was at the lower school.
Right.
They were there at the same time.
A pretty good pedigree. What's going on at your school?
Yeah, no, it's Oxford, I'm telling you. Like, right. The amount of actors, like Florence Pugh's from Oxford, who else? Like, there's tons of actors from Oxford.
Is there a drama teacher? Because often, you know, as a kid, you know, there's somebody around who hands you a guitar, and then you go, well, it wasn't my dad, it was my mum, but my uncle loved the guitar, and he left his guitar at our house. Did he do it on purpose, did he not? Any heroes, unsung heroes that you need to mention?
Okay, well, when I was four, the ripe old age of four, we were being cast in the Nativity,
right?
And the teacher was reading it out, and she said, "You're going to be the one of the wolves, you know, that eats the sheep."
Right.
And I shot my hand up, no shame, and I said, "I don't want to be a baddie."
Mm-hmm.
And so they made me a vegetarian wolf. And so I had this line that said, "I am Sally, the vegetarian wolf," and everyone laughed. And that was the moment where I went, you know what? This is kind of great.
That's
so it's all down to Sally the Vegetarian Wolf.
James Corden had a very similar experience. So he was in his Christmas concert at church, and he was in the choir, and he got bored at one point. So he just turned around, put his back to the congregation, and bent down and just waved between his legs, and he got a laugh, and he thought, "Oh, I like the sound of that."
Right.
Same thing.
That little spark of attention, exactly. And you go, "Yeah, I want more."
Yeah, I want more of that. So you're 22 now.
22.
Okay,
yeah.
So you've done so much stuff.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
so it's
I guess
pretty cool.
So. I mean, yeah, I set out goals for myself when I started, when I was 14, and I can't believe I've already ticked some off.
Obviously,
I create more, but like,
can you just give it? I know. Give us like four sort of waypoints between being 14 and now. So things that you've hit, tipping points for you.
So I mean, I remember getting my first role in a TV show. It was like a, you know, tiny role, but I literally ran to my friends in the dining room. I remember, and I was just like, I got it. And I
what
had like
was it?
Two
what
lines.
Was that?
It was Into the Badlands.
Right.
And I was just like, I was like, I've made it. I've made
wow.
it. So that was like a big moment at the time. And then it was landing The Witcher, obviously, because when I started, at least, my dream was to be in something fantastical. So that was one thing. And then the next thing was being in a film that was at the cinema. So there we go.
What's it like to see? What's it like the first time you see yourself that big?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, like I'm kind of used to it now.
No, but the first, because it's, you know.
Oh, you mean the first time?
Yeah, the first time you see like a big you. Because I remember seeing myself for the first time and sort of thinking, that's interesting. There's some work to be done there.
No, you want to know the first time? Not good.
Where were
not
you?
Good.
What happened?
It was Witcher season one premiere,
right.
And I was,
oh,
I was like, oh my god! I had bleached. They bleached
this
my eyebrows.
This is what
they
I mean.
Literally, they made me look terrible, right?
Right.
And you know, it was good looking back, but at that time when I was like, you know, growing up and turning into a woman, I was a bit like, oh god, I don't want to see that. I look like an alien.
But you're more used to it now.
Yeah.
So I've seen the trailer. As I say, Felix has seen the film, and he told me so much about it. And he said, but you can't say any of this because it's got an embargo, which is cool because we need it to be a surprise and exciting for people to go and see it on Thursday, May the 9th. But I have seen you riding on horses and things like that.
Yeah.
That was there was lots of CGI. I'm presuming the horse was real.
Yeah, I actually love doing the riding.
Wow.
I love it. That's the one thing I have to say. The Witcher has teaches everyone a lot of random skills.
Yeah, yeah.
Beetle wrangling.
Yeah, because there's getting paid, there's free food, nice clothes, hair and makeup, and then there's also, you learn to do all this stuff as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, random things that, you know, like for my screen test for Planet of the Apes, I had to go on a horse, and I remember the horse guy being like, what is she doing? Because I was just like, I jumped up on there, because he probably thought like I just was going to have no, like just yeah, yeah, kill myself.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Good,
it's really fun.
And is there anything you did in the audition for people listening, you know, whether it's whatever kind of job they're going for, and you thought, is there anything that you apply to thinking, I need to do this, this is how I need to get ahead of the pack? Any little tricks and twists and hacks and, you know, extra commitment?
You know what? I just went in there and I was like, I just have to give it my best shot.
Right, so
and
if you don't
relaxed.
Get it.
But the thing is, I decided already before I went there that I wasn't getting it.
Right.
And so it completely relaxed me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I was like, I'm not getting it. So I'm
that's
just,
good.
I just have a bit of fun here and,
yeah. And no
enjoy getting to act, I guess,
yeah,
and play this character for at least a
and
day.
And that worked. Was that a tactic? Or
well,
did you really
I
think
would
that?
Say so. I would say the best thing in general is to stay relaxed, because the minute you start getting up, it's not the same, but I mean it's similar to sports people. You know,
yeah,
you've got to like make sure that doesn't get in the way.
Get out of your head,
your brain.
Get out of your own way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you've seen the movie?
I have.
You went to the premiere.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was amazing. I mean, so the last night they showed 30 minutes of it, but I saw a screening of it the night before, but it was on a far smaller screen. And I actually wish I'd seen it for the first time on the IMAX screen, because
yeah,
it was like, you know how they say it's got to be seen on a big screen?
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah,
actually really does.
And times that by 1,000 for IMAX.
It's yeah,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
it was crazy.
Good. So what's your feeling? What's your vibe?
My feeling? My
yeah,
vibe? What in general?
No, just around this.
I honestly don't know. I'm just, you know,
good
when you're just like
you,
going along
good
with
answer,
it. I don't know. I mean, I'm just.
I like it.
I always manage to feel incredibly detached from it all. You know, when people are like, this is massive.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like.
Very healthy.
I feel very happy to be surrounded by like the cast, who are so lovely, and Wes, the director,
yeah,
and they're all such nice, very sort of normal people.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I feel like we're all just a bit like rabbit in headlights. But
okay, it's a great job, but it's a job.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I mean, I'm proud and,
yeah,
and I'm excited, but,
I get
but
it.
I'm also like.
We've done all we can. Set it free.
Hopefully people enjoy it. And yeah, but I'm also on The Witcher right now, so I'm sort of like my brain is
all right,
is on that a little bit. So I'm sort of like,
acting is something else, isn't it? Movies are something else.
Yeah.
Again, I've been around them many, many times. And what we do for a living, it's here, it's now. If we stuff it up, we've got another one tomorrow. If we do the best show we've done forever, we've got another one tomorrow.
Right.
And
well, this is what I always say to people when I'm trying to explain it. I'm like, we can't have a day where it's like, oh, you know, that was a bit of a bad day at work. Because it's being filmed.
Yeah.
And you're going to be seen by millions.
The eyes.
Your mistakes.
You're giving me the death stare.
Your hungover. Whatever is going to be seen by everyone.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, listen, good luck. Break a leg and all that kind of stuff that you can say and you can't. I don't know what you're
break
supposed to
leg,
say.
Break a leg, yeah.
Break a leg. Yeah. Freya Allen has been talking to us. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is out a week on Thursday. That's Thursday, the 9th of May. It's a great franchise. I absolutely. The first time I saw the first film, I was blown away by it. And you're cracking on with it all. So thanks for coming to see us. I know you're really busy.
Thank
you've got
you
to fly off now, haven't you, somewhere else?
I'm flying somewhere, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Okay, good luck with everything.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on, let
it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
answers over to you.
Our next guest can shelve any plans to sit down because he's about to go on tour. And for the first time in 4 decades, he has a number one album. James's Yummy beat Beyonce to top spot. So he's him. He's Tim Booth.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Chris.
You did it. You did it, man.
Yeah, I don't have to blow my trumpet, do I? You're going to do it for me.
Come on. Okay, so you were on our show a couple of Tuesdays ago now. You were number one in the midweeks, but, you know, that can mean one thing or another. Who knows what it's going to mean? What happened? What was your journey like from Tuesday to Friday? Tell us everything that happened, how it unfolded, where you were when you found out, blah, 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 all that stuff.
My ego swelled to disproportionate, like a black hole at the moment, I think, for at least another 4 hours before the next number one is announced. We were told last Friday, I think management rang us. I drink once every 2 years and went out with them and had 3 margaritas, which was actually, I was surprisingly able to walk home afterwards, which was good. It's strange. It's meant more than we thought it would. You know, we've had so many number twos and so many number threes, but I can see it's numbers were not the reason we got involved in music, but it has meant quite a lot. Thank you. It's been very, very, it's felt very good. And the people who've supported us and worked with us, we deeply appreciate. Thank you.
Yes,
playing our music.
It's interesting, isn't it? Numbers don't mean anything until they do, I suppose.
That's exactly it, yeah.
So you were with us on Tuesday. Did you carry on promoing that week? Was the pressure on you to get out there and to get the message out there that this could be your first number one?
We have we've got two managers, but we've got a new manager, massive James fan, but he's also worked at Sony International, etc. Like, he's been to 120 James gigs. This is how we chose him as manager. He'd be in the mosh pit from 1995 onwards. We'd see him at every gig, even though he was like CEO of Sony International.
Brilliant.
And it was very much his idea that, oh, we can be number one and we can actually challenge Beyonce and Mark Knopfler. And so he had a whole promo kind of, you know, go and do signings and things, and we played the game, you know, and our fans supported us in it. We didn't want to lose people with this game because we've got very loyal fans who don't want to be exploited, you know, all these bands putting out 20 different coloured vinyls and all this kind of stuff. It wasn't our way.
So you found out on Friday, were you together?
No, we were all scattered to the winds. We did a radio show together a few days before the band playing, but then we're all around the world, not around the world, but all around Britain, mainly in Portugal.
So when did you get together for these margaritas of yours?
Well, that was me in management, really.
All right.
In London. I sent out texts to a few other people who were local, but
right.
Nobody
so
got the text.
Funny. All right, I've got to ask you this question because I know that because it stuck out like a sore thumb. You drink every 2 years, once every 2 years. Now, obviously, you've never had a number one album before. So, is it a chronological thing, or do you try and pick out an occasion, or what's happened in the past?
Yeah, like 30 years ago, I vowed I'd only drink again when we got a number one album. So it's been a rough 30 years, Chris. It really has. No, I kind of. I don't really like alcohol that much. And, you know, I stopped when I was younger because I had a liver disease inherited. And also because I was meditating and it was part of the rules. So I was celibate for a long time with that too. But I decided to rescind on that particular vow. So alcohol doesn't really agree with me that much. But now and again, I go, oh, yeah, go for it. See what happens. I like champagne and margaritas, and that's about it.
So 3 margaritas. Was it? I'm just fascinated. Was it always going to be 3, or have one and see how it goes?
Three was highly indulgent. Usually, my body just immediately starts drinking water after about one.
Right.
And this time, it went, oh, go on, go for it, have fun.
All right.
And I had great fun.
So that was a week ago. That was the week that was. How's it been since? Is it like winning an Oscar? Does it change things, or do you crack on as normal, or is it you know, you're only as good as your next album, not your last one?
We're driving up to Yorkshire today to start writing the next record. And we'll be like locked away in a cottage in the Dales for a week, the four songwriters just jamming for 6 hours a day. I mean, you know, it's, you can feel it. You can feel the respect. You know, we always harp on that we're not a heritage band. You know, we don't look back. We keep moving forward. We've had all these albums out in the last few years. The last double album, I think, went to number 2 or 3, which was the orchestral choir album. So, you know, we keep moving forward, and James are always about that. We don't see ourselves as a 90s band. Half of our audience want us to play new songs, and the other half wants us to play the old songs, and we find a balance and we change it every night. So it kind of gives us the justification to really play the new songs now. It'll make us even more weird and obscure.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because it does change things. Like you say, you know, if we've got a festival or something like that, or we have an auction, or a charity auction on the radio, and it does really well, you definitely get there's a freedom and there's a flow that comes to you in that moment that then allows you to sort of be better than you were before, when you needed to be better before rather than after.
And I think us going to write today is going to be fantastic, because yeah. I think we're right from a slightly puffed up place, which won't be bad for us.
Well, hang on a minute, Tim. There's the name of the album, Puffed Up Place. Puffed Up is the Puffed yeah. Up. It's got to be a track called. There's got to be at least one song called Puffed Up on the album.
All right, I'll have a go. It depends what lyric comes.
Oh gosh,
but it's you know, I think. Like, you know, by the way, when I say we have a drink with our management, we've known, you know, Peter Rudge has been with us 32 years. His wife says to us, you know, he has two things in the world he loves, and he's been married to for 32 years. It's me and you and as a band. And Neil has been really with us for about 25 or something crazy. So they're very close. We're a close little family in James.
All right. Well, listen, you have a cracking time. And in many ways, the new tour coming up, the 8-day tour, the UK Arena tour, beginning 3rd of June on Monday in Aberdeen until Saturday the 5th of June. A couple of tickets left at wearejames.com. That's going to be more joyous than usual.
That's impossible, Chris. We're the most joyous band on the planet at the moment. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're always just ecstatic. Thank you so much.
All right. Tim, you're absolutely awesome. Congratulations. I am thrilled to bits for you. We're all thrilled for you.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Tim,
great
Booth.
To be here. Thank you so much.
Thanks for making the time to come and say hello to us again. Absolutely awesome. James' first ever number one album, Yummy. It's out now. Tickets, wearejames.com for the forthcoming tour.
Well, look who it is back in the house. Vassos, over to you.
Our next guest remains life president of his own independent republic, even as the surrounding borders are being redrawn. He's about to start hosting The Breakfast Show on Talk. So please welcome the broadcasting colossus, who is mighty Mike Graham.
Mike Graham is back in the house. Good morning, Mike.
Very good morning. Thank you, Vassos. It's very kind of you, both of you. Great to see you both. I mean, it feels as though I've been sort of hiding away because I've been working at night. I've been working at the other end of the day, so I haven't seen anyone for literally months, you know, but it's been a great fun time.
Right.
And now we slightly reset again.
Yeah.
Remember that show V, where they used to sort of pull their faces up?
Yes.
And you have a new face underneath?
Yes.
Now I'm the breakfast face.
Okay, so you were mid-morning smashing it on Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Then you went to have a play on Talk TV in the evening.
Yes.
And now we're with Talk, and you're the breakfast show host.
And I'm the breakfast show host. We kick off on Monday, 6:30 a.m. Until 10. It's going to be great fun. I mean, I've never done breakfast properly. I've always said, I've covered it, you know, when Julie Hartley Brewer used to do it.
Yeah.
And I used to say, I don't think I could ever do this. And Denny, our boss, said to me, one day you're going to be doing breakfast. And I went, you think? And we had this conversation. He went, it's the time. So here we are.
Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm always ready. You know me.
No, I know. But
I can do it tomorrow if you want.
You can do one breakfast show tomorrow. You can do two. You can do a month. But 3, 4, 5 years of getting up. At what time are you going to get up?
I don't think I'm going to get up much before about 4:30. Because
okay.
I only live down the road, you see.
Right.
So I'm going to get in for about 5-ish, 5:15-ish.
Nice.
Something
okay.
like that.
And so... what will your life, what do you think your life will look like? Because you'll have a new regime,
yeah,
and then your regime will start to evolve and talk to what your body and your brain, yes, needs it to be, and then you'll end up in a place where you may not be planning for it.
Right. Well, that's planning my whole life. I mean, I keep ending up in places I haven't planned for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm kind of ready for that. I'm not somebody that, well, I know a lot of people don't like change, you know, they get used to living a particular way. I mean, for the last 6 months, for example, I've been going into work at 7 p.m. Right. And so I haven't really been going out during the day for lunch or anything like that. So I've had quite a quiet social life. And then I'd get home at sort of 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, sometimes sit up till about 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Because I had no alarm to wake up to. And that was great. But I've missed a lot of people. So I'm going to have a lot of lunches, I think.
Are you a night owl naturally, or are you
generally
a morning person?
Yeah. I'm not great in the mornings, but I mean, you know. But I'll just
this
have
is what
to
Jeff
be.
Stelling said a couple of months
but
ago.
I'll just, but I'll just have to be, won't I?
Yeah, you know? No, you'd be completely, you'd be more than fine. Yeah. Because you've either got it or you haven't. Yeah. You've got it in
the
space.
The hardest thing for me is going to bed like really early.
This is okay.
Whenever I've done it, I've found it really tough to get to sleep before 10 o'clock.
Exactly. So that's where we're going
next. That's where I'm just going to have to learn how to do that.
Yeah. So any plans?
Well, just don't go out late. I mean, you know, simple.
Yeah, but still, you can not go out, but you're still going to go to bed. You got to have. You're going to wear an eye mask.
Well, everything's going to shift around. I'm not going to wear an eye mask. No,
I don't think so.
Why?
Because of the light. It keeps you awake.
Well, no, it doesn't get light till I'm waking up anyway, though, does
no,
it?
No, to going to bed.
Oh, I see.
To get to sleep.
Oh, I see.
That's
well, I've
the
got
thing.
Curtains.
It doesn't. It's not the same. So they talk about blackout. It's, you've got to have blackout blinds. Yeah, if you've got £1 million.
Yeah.
But if you put a £2.50 eye mask on, makes all the difference.
I've got a few of those from the planes that I've flown on, you know, so if I was sitting around, I could put those on. So that might happen. But where I live is quite quiet as well. There's not a lot of noise. So that's
quite
good.
What time are you going to go to bed?
I'm going to try and go to bed around about 10, I think.
Go to bed at 10?
Yeah, I think 10's fine.
And do you fall asleep pretty quickly?
Yeah, usually. I can literally sleep standing up. I've slept on the tube in rush hour,
love
standing
it.
Up.
And do you stay asleep once you're asleep?
Well, do you know what? In the last week, since I've been thinking about this, I've been waking up at about 4:30.
This is what we're saying.
4:30, so for no reason.
Because you're sort
but
of...
But also, like, bing, like, I can't go back to sleep.
Training for it.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, we had a theory about you yesterday.
Okay.
Right? So when you're on mid-mornings here, and we've been here, this is our sixth year here now, right?
Is it?
So when you're on mid-mornings here, till about 18 months ago,
yeah,
right, the political world was completely crackers. It's still quite mad
it
now.
Is mad.
But you and I used to laugh.
Yeah.
Because you used to come in. I used to go out for a cover break. We'd meet at the drink station,
yes,
and I'd be saying, "Mike, it's another FA
who's
Cup
the,
final."
Who's the
for
prime
you.
Minister now?
One after the other.
Yeah.
You left mid mornings. It all quietened down. Like they're waiting for your return.
Yes.
So we expect it all to kick off again.
Yeah.
On Monday
well, now
morning.
I mean, look. You just have to look around to see what's going on. You know, Scotland is completely blown up. We've got Humza Yousaf, or Humza Useless, as I call him. He's going for a vote of no confidence, or everybody else is next week. So by middle of next week, Scotland might not have a leader.
So
right?
Game back on because you're
so
back in town.
So that's all going to go.
Do you
on.
Think they've put it all on hold? Just
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, everybody resigns on my show, right? So I'm expecting them now to start resigning a little bit early.
Right.
Earlier than 10 o'clock. Because, you know, Theresa May, Boris Johnson, all of them, they all resigned on my show. So now I'm hoping that, you know, he may call an election, by the way. We've got Rishi Sunak, you know, kind of, I would say 10 to 1, he might call an election early.
Well, no, hang on. We know when the election's going to be. It's going to be a Thursday, October the 17th.
Do you?
Yeah, that's what we've heard.
That's what you've heard, yeah. But there are other moves afoot. Right?
There are other more qualified opinions.
Well, not necessarily more qualified, because nobody really knows. But there's an awful lot of people that think it a lot depends on what happens at the local elections, which is only next week.
Yeah.
And depending on how that goes, suddenly it could be a quick decision.
Local elections next Thursday.
Yeah.
So what... Give us two scenarios post the local elections on Friday.
Okay, well, on Friday... If it's going to happen, that's when he'll call an election.
No, what will have had to happen on the Thursday?
I then? Think he will have had to have had a complete and utter sort of roasting, but not as bad as he thought it was going to be. Because I think he's going to get a roasting anyway.
Right.
Right.
So if it's slightly anything but charred.
If there's anything it help that they can hopefully cling on to, they might go for it.
And so why wouldn't they cling on to that and build from that to October?
Because there'll be people telling him it's going to get worse.
Right. What might get
because
worse?
Because everything. because, you know, literally the whole country is collapsing around him.
Right? Hi, yes, Rishi here. can you be more specific on what's going to get worse? Well, mostly everything, yeah. Prime Minister.
Pretty much everything.
Who says, Mike Graham, he's back on breakfast on talk, and that's what he's... Oh, OK.
I mean, waiting lists are going to get longer, right? That's not happening. That's not being helped. Mm. The Rwanda situation isn't going to change anytime soon.
Right.
They're not going to be able to send anybody there. You know, local authorities are going to run out of money. Yep. There's going to be more bankruptcies. People are going to be spending more money trying to just stay
afloat. What might get better then?
I can't see anything getting better. Literally nothing. Although Scotland might be improved if
they
get rid of...
Is this for the country or for the Tories?
This is for the
both.
Tories and the country. Oh, I mean, I don't talk to that many people who
Come
think
on, it's
the
Friday.
Tories...
You're on the brightest breakfast show in the world.
Yeah.
Give us some light at the end of the tunnel.
The light at the end of the tunnel is in the morning. Now you can listen to me, and I'll tell you.
But you're up against us.
No, but I'll tell you. Well, we can listen to each other. I've learned over the years of working in radio how to listen to more than one output. Right, as I'm sure.
I'm still working on that.
But I'm hoping that you and I might be able to have a bit of interchange as the shows are on. Also, I'm going to make you laugh, right? So I'm going to be telling you there's terrible things going on, but here's something funny.
Right.
That you can actually cheer up and think about. I once did a breakfast show, and I was looking out the window, and it was in the middle of winter, and it was completely dark. Mm-hmm. And I thought, something's going on, because there's no lights coming on.
Right.
And I could see across the Tower of London. I could see all the, you know, the skyscrapers across the way, across the river, all in darkness, right?
Uh-huh.
And so for half an hour, I was telling everyone that there's something weird going on, because it might be something to do with saving the planet, it might be something to do with Earth Day. There's no lights coming on. I wonder if there's some kind of power cut. And I came out to go for a wee, I think it was, and discovered that it was the filter on the actual window which was obscuring my view. And in fact, all the lights were on. I just couldn't see them.
Yeah.
You know, so then I had to confess that I'd got it all wrong.
All the lights were on, but Mike wasn't
in. Wasn't home. So things like that will happen. You know, I like the idea, as you do, of coming in and not knowing exactly what we're going to do. You know, we'll have guests, we'll have ministers coming on, we'll have government ministers coming on. I won't always know what I'm going to ask them.
So just quickly back to Rishi, what would happen on Thursday for him not to call an election?
I think if he did a lot better than he was expecting, which I think is pretty much an impossibility.
So you think the likelihood is he's going to call an early election?
I think there's a very good chance.
Pre-summer?
More than 50%, yes.
When?
It would be in June.
Right. So 6 weeks after, basically. Yeah. He'd go for the soonest one, the quickest one he could. Because
exactly.
6 weeks is the...
Because if you think about it, imagine going into work, if you're Rishi Sunak, every day going, is any good news, guys? No. Sorry.
Zero.
What do you think? How are the polls looking? Well, you've got the worst poll rating even worse than last week. Yep, it's even worse than last week.
And worse than Liz Truss.
Every week. And he's lost more money than Liz Truss.
Oh, my gosh. All right, OK, enough.
Incredible.
It's Friday.
I haven't talked about Trump yet. Oh, I mean, that's all going on as well.
So are you still the Independent Republic of?
I'm not sure. Well, there's a conversation going on around what we call it. I'm not sure if I'm ready to tell you what it is yet. But it might not be the Independent Republic, Mike Graham.
But it might be.
But it might be.
Mike, it's great to see you.
Can't believe it. It's amazing.
Six
I'm glad
five.
To be back.
Great
I've
to
missed
see you.
You.
Great to see you. Miss you too. See you at the drink station.
Yeah.
When you want your favourite 80s songs to lift your mood, play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. DAB Digital Radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm a hero. I'm holding on for a hero till the end of the night. Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s. Virgin Radio. 80s Plus.